of already approved.
That's our understanding. That's our understanding.
Thank you. I'll talk to staff about whether that's in fact what happens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next group is Leslie Hildebrand, William Lehman, and Rich Parsons. Leslie Hildebrand is first.
Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Hildebrand. I live in the Huntington Terrace community, which I love. I'm here to respectfully urge the board to reject this proposal. The staff asserts in its report that maintaining the status quo will continue to require these institutions to go through long and costly special exceptions for nearly every change to existing hospitals. The staff has shown with great clarity the very purpose of the special exception treatment and the very reason that hospitals and residential zones are subject to it. Hospital construction and expansions involve many factors and decisions that affect everything from traffic patterns and noise levels through the scale, aesthetics, and makeup of buildings that loom over adjacent communities. These highly technical and involved matters can firmly impact, for better or worse, the surrounding community, the atmosphere of which can be irreversibly altered by a single development component, which means the stakes are high not only for the hospital, but also for neighbors who have every right to the full and peaceful enjoyment of their residents. The issues in these cases deserve the thorough consideration provided by the Board of Appeals. While viewed by hospital advocates as long and costly, this is not a valid argument for removal. On the contrary, those costs reflect the high stakes involved and the necessity of resolving the issues equitably and responsibly. If I claim that filing my tax return is a long and costly process, I am not excused from paying my taxes. There is no reason for the proposed change. The staff alludes to a perceived health care crisis confronting our county and states that the hospitals need more medical office space. In the case of suburban, such office space is widely available in the Bethesda Business District, just half a mile from the residential area where hospital owners have chosen to locate. Any driver in Bethesda sees numerous for rent signs on display in office buildings. That doesn't sound like a crisis, certainly not one that would justify the destruction of a 300-home community whose residential roots predate the Revolutionary War. It is exactly the type of issue that the special exception process is designed to reconcile. Where will we be if you do away with that process? Planners at Suburban have, over time, shown our community a range of plans, including increased parking and additional facilities for various services. We properly leave it for professional hospital management to determine the best way to balance their resources with market needs, but ask, however, that they do so in a way that fits with the priorities of our county in preserving viable, stable, and pleasant residential neighborhoods like ours. That formula has worked well so far for our county residents and hospitals, and we see no reason to depart from it now. As grateful as we are for the staff's work on this process, on this report, we are forced to take exception to a key aspect of the staff's recommendation, the essence of which is that existing hospitals be considered appropriate uses in one-family residential zones. With all due respect, that position is a perfect fiction. A hospital is a large, busy, noisy, 24-hour commercial operation whose very purpose, scale, and activities are inappropriate in a residential community. For example, it is inappropriate for a hospital shuttle bus to hurtle down our narrow, dark street precisely when our high school is stumbling half asleep pre-dawn to their bus stop on that same street. Will it take the traffic death of one of our teenagers for the county to conclude that hospitals do not belong in dense neighborhoods? The two do not belong together, but that doesn't mean they can't coexist successfully, as our community's six-decade history with suburban proves. However, that depends on the strict enforcement of specific zoning that treat hospitals for what they are, special exceptions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lehman?
Good afternoon. My name is Will Lehman. I'm a resident also of Huntington Terrace. I'm a father. I'm a teacher. I'm a husband. I'm a youth basketball coach in Montgomery County. And I want to voice my opposition to the proposal as well. I want to praise, however, the staff for its excellent background research on the issue. We were surprised that the communities weren't consulted in advance and that we weren't given a lot of notification. It strikes us that the people who would be most directly affected by this proposal and have the most to lose from it should have been involved in this from the beginning. Even so, the staff's own research really makes our point. The staff's own research makes it clear that the existing system works very well, and that the reasons that the hospitals and the business leaders have proposed for changing it are really about saving time and saving money, but not necessarily making better decisions. I want to point to the July 16th report of the Planning Board. The staff says the hospital expansion proposals have frequently engendered friction between the institutions and the neighborhoods where they are located. Exactly. The interests of the hospital don't always coincide with those of the surrounding residential communities, no matter what Mr. Resch said. Helping to resolve those differences is the legitimate and necessary role for policymakers and elected officials. Shortcutting that process, making it cheaper, isn't going to make the process better. I teach mathematics to high school kids, and it just doesn't make any sense to say to those kids, hey, why don't you speed up your work on that problem? You're more likely to get the right answer. No, they're less likely to get the right answer. How often has it been that speeding up a process makes it more likely for the process to come to the right outcome? I don't think that's intuitive. It doesn't make sense. Okay? Dismantling the system that we have now is a mistake. It allows lots of voices to come in. It gives unlimited amounts of input. It allows more speaking, more time for deliberation, and better speaking, better deliberation, more accurate things with cross-examination and so on. Getting rid of that process is going to leave our county with no constructive way to work through the conflicts that inevitably arise between communities and hospital. Changing the process is going to make those conflicts go away. It's just going to ignore them to the benefit of the hospitals and to the detriment of the communities. It's worth noting that the other counties in our area, the staff report did this research, and it's important to bring out, they looked at the six surrounding counties, Fairfax, Anne Arundel, Baltimore, Frederick, Howard, and Prince George. Only one, Baltimore, permits hospitals by right in residential zones. That's the staff report. There's a simple reason for treating hospitals as special exceptions like five of those six counties do. It's because that's what they are. The hospitals and Mr. Resch and the staff report suggest that needing to prove the validity of use every time they come back to modify the facility is a problem. But I don't think there's anything unusual or strange about asking hospitals to come in and justify themselves each time. The community wouldn't say, you're 100,000 existing feet, you have to get rid of them now, we oppose you completely, leave our neighborhood. In truth, they're really being asked to justify properly the addition. That's just logical. No one's asking them to leave our communities. We need the accountability, and we think that the proposal, my neighbors and I think the proposal should be rejected. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. My name is Richard Parsons. I'm president and CEO of the Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce, which is the county's largest and most broadly representative business organization. Our members include not only medical institutions, hospitals, biotech companies, large employers, but also small businesses from Tacoma Park to Germantown to Darnstown, really the entire business community in this county. It's important to point out we are really interested in both sides of the debate that you've heard today, because our members are residents. We live in the neighborhoods that you've heard from today. We live in other locations as well. We want to see both a strong, thriving economy for all sectors, including our hospitals, which are an important part of our community. We also want to see good neighborhoods where our members and their employees can really enjoy living. So what we really want to see is a win-win situation. And I think what you've heard in the testimony so far raises a couple core questions that I'll try to address in my testimony. I also want to add that as the former president of the Forest Estates Civic Association, I was one of the people very intimately involved in the Holy Cross expansion and have some thoughts about what worked there, because that was a success story, but it had nothing to do with the process that's in place right now. And I would submit that kind of success story would still happen under the proposed change that you see before you, given the right kind of leadership both at the hospital end and the community end. But let me just start with saying we do believe there is a strong public health justification for the county council and for the planning board to recommend this change and to allow a hospital zoning text amendment. A community's quality of life is significantly tied to the adequacy of its healthcare facilities and the ability of those facilities to offer state-of-the-art treatment programs and to compete in a rapidly changing, very unpredictable environment. It's been said that the current system isn't broken. As a participant, really, from both sides of this question, I think it is broken. The statement was made, all it is time and money. Well, time is money, and to a hospital industry that's already under great stress from multiple sources that you've heard about before, 2 years of delay for a relatively minor change to their site plan is not reasonable. And from a neighborhood perspective, I can see the point that they could say this process is not broken, because it's not broken from a neighborhood perspective. But from the hospital's perspective, and here's where I think we really should be trying to see the win-win situation here, it is broken, because the time and the legal fees that are involved in going through every stage of that special exception process and all of those hearings at the Board of Appeals, and if one thing comes back, it could be another 2 months before they even get in the door again. We're talking about telescoping the time and the process to make it speedier, less expensive for them. I think in today's climate, where these hospitals are under very, very tough financial strain, I think it's in all of our interest to make sure that we can minimize those costs when they're not truly necessary. Now, that being said, I think it's important to maintain community dialogue, and that's where the experience with Holy Cross was really instructive, because they did reach out to the community early and often in the design phase. They could still do that through the site review process, I think, just as effectively. They worked with us before they even decided on the design of their facility expansion. They had three different options that they came to us, and they asked for our input. I think any leader of any hospital could do the same thing and should do the same thing, and I think it's also incumbent on the communities to try to be reasonable in return. I think if both sides tried to work with each other more and more cooperatively, I think you could make any process work for you. The question here before you is this change needed? I would submit that it is, given the unreasonable time and delay that's involved and the costs of these hospitals. Is this the right change? I think the staff's done a commendable job, and I would submit that it is, at least in the right direction. Certainly, this is early in the process, and just like the neighborhood groups, we weren't intimately involved in the drafting, nor would I expect to be. We're involved now, I think, in a very appropriate way, to come and submit our comments. I think the staff should be commended. In summary, I think this proposal creates a public review process that is flexible and supportive of the hospitals in their efforts to meet our county's public health demands, while also being responsive and informative to the neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Nope. Okay. Stan Kaplan, Alan Sterling, and Wayne Goldstein. Mr. Kaplan.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Stan Kaplan, a resident of Montgomery County and a board member of our condo association in Montgomery County. I have owned and operated a neighborhood grocery store that has been covered by special exceptions here in Montgomery County for the past 35 years. 2 years ago, I retired, sold the business, which is still operating. About the same time, I suffered a heart attack and have been a patient at Suburban in their cardiac rehab. That involves visits 3 days a week and evening classes. A neighborhood hospital is an important service, much more than a neighborhood grocery store. The hospital saves lives, yours and mine. Speed is critical. This board should not hinder or slow down the ability of a hospital to change to meet the dangerous times we live in today. The process to make changes should be efficient and balanced between the neighborhood and the hospital's needs. Operating under special exception zoning rules will not allow this. For the hospital zoning should be separated from under this rules. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sterling.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I am Alan Sterling, residing at 7025 Selkirk Drive in Bethesda, and I represent myself. I'm pleased to have participated and have been benefited by a variety of Suburban Hospital programs and services. The proposed zoning text amendment would facilitate the approval process, but would still have safeguards built into it, as I've learned this afternoon. I became aware of this so recently that I haven't had a chance to develop a lot of background documentation, which I'll attempt to get. My family and I rely on Suburban Hospital for emergency response and for normal hospital services, and we look to Suburban Hospital to keep abreast of rapidly upgraded requirements as first provider in the war on terrorism. Any process that makes it expeditious for hospitals to react more quickly to the changing healthcare needs of the community is a good process, and I fully support it. Our hospitals have a very tough job, in our opinion. An aging population and the threat of terrorism in the Washington, D.C. area have made this job even more difficult for Montgomery County hospitals. We're right next door to the nation's capital. Their mission is to save lives and improve the quality of our lives, and we need to support them in that mission. Accordingly, I heartily recommend your approval. As a footnote, may I say that I've participated in our community off of River Road in the special exception process. We were able to arrive at what we had recommended to the institution involved originally before 3 years of expense and hard labor. But they finally saw the light with the good help of the planning board. I also participated in the dialogue on a site plan approval process, and that also worked. No one's house is overshadowed by a 100-foot high facility or anything that I like what I hear some people are afraid of. So I do recommend your approval of this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Goldstein?
I'm Wayne Goldstein, first vice president of the Montgomery County Civic Federation and a member of its land use committee. I've done some newspaper archival research about county hospitals. Just 2 weeks ago, I joined others in testifying about how the MPDU legislative package looked like an excuse to render master plans meaningless and to threaten any residential neighborhood with incompatible and uncontrollable redevelopment, all in the name of creating more affordable housing. This effort was largely caused by Bethesda area developers persuading the eager-to-please DHCA director to allow the buyout of hundreds of individual MPDUs. Nevertheless, that as sacred as the affordable housing crisis is, the health care crisis is even more sacred. And just as the proposed legislative remedy for the affordable housing crisis will do little to create more affordable housing, so the proposed hospital ZTA will do little to help solve the health care crisis. This ZTA is caused by Washington Dentist Hospital, WAN, because it is terribly unhappy that it is being forced to work with the surrounding community to accept a realistic compromise to build doctor's offices for outpatients a short distance away from the hospital campus. WAN seems to want to cut the community out of the process as much as possible. Apparently, the only way that WAN claims that it can keep its good doctors who will attract the paying patients is to let them build their offices right next to the hospital. This brightening of truth will come as a terrible shock to Suburban Hospital because, according to the Gazette, in August 1999, quote, Suburban Hospital plans to expand its outpatient services into a six-story medical office building slated for construction next spring in North Bethesda's Rock Spring Park Office Complex, unquote. The Planning Board unanimously approved this project with no community opposition for these doctor's offices, which are about 2.5 miles from the hospital. Interestingly, the hospital began an effort that same year to try to build a parking structure and new buildings in such a way as to destroy part of the surrounding residential neighborhood. The residents objected. In November 2001, the Gazette reported, quote, Suburban Hospital last week began pressing the county council to lift zoning restrictions that hinder the hospital's plans, unquote. After that, ran out of steam with no support. From the county council, Suburban Hospital took its toys and went home. The parliament in the staff report tells us that the hospitals, quote, must be vigilant every time they seek to modify the facility, unquote. In May 2001, quote, three county hospitals arrived for state approval to add open heart surgery to their range of services. And suburban in Bethesda will apply for a certificate of need from the Maryland Healthcare Commission. Hospitals will not add services or facilities without a certificate of need from the state. A program is unnecessary expansion, unquote. Now, I'm wondering, did staff mean that our hospital should be free from intense scrutiny from the Board of Appeals or free from intense scrutiny from the Maryland Healthcare Commission? I'm guessing it must be the latter agency because just this past January 2011, the Gazette stated, quote, officials from the Washington, D.C. hospital clashed Thursday with officials from Bethesda Suburban Hospital in a program in the suburbs, unquote. There are many more Gazette articles about this fight of hospital staff and other hospitals from doing whatever they wanted than of the fight of residential neighborhoods stopping hospitals from doing whatever they wanted. The truth is that the healthcare crisis for veterinary hospitals is figuring out ways to make more money, and like any business sector, they fight to gain or keep market share and profits, adding or removing services whenever possible. They're only thinking of the well-heeled patients when they add profitable new programs or upgrades to existing ones that will get them more cash from the paying customers. Like the MPD's ETAs, this hospital's ETA is another solution in search of a problem that will instead create many more problems, not solve any. Large healthcare institutions should write their own master plans like Walter Reed. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Any questions? Nope. No questions. So that's the end of the speakers list. And now you can ask questions of the staff or anybody else you want to question.
Well, I guess I do have one question, Staff, just kind of break the ice here. Have we heard, I didn't hear anybody testify about Shady Grove in the LSC zone. Any feedback on how that, I guess, and I want to, first, I was a little disappointed in the report because I have to ask you this question because I can't find in the report, but how has the LSC zone, Life Sciences zone, worked for Shady Grove? Or if you don't know, could you find out?
I can't give you any specifics on that, but I can find that out.
Because, I mean, I'm not hearing anything about Shady Grove.
I think it's worked very well. I mean, that's the whole, you know, that's part of the problem is that Shady Grove is the only one of our hospitals that's actually in a zone that's designed for hospitals. All of the others are in residential zones. One of the speakers said, you know, they chose to go there, and I guess that's true. But unfortunately, that doesn't get us anywhere at this point because they chose to go there a long time ago, and there's no other place in the county where these hospitals are going to locate. So this is the dilemma, is that we do have large institutions with a lot of traffic and a lot of activity in residential zones, but they're also critical care facilities.
Right, but residential zones.
I think it's worked well. To answer your question, I think it's worked well. I mean, what I've heard is that it's worked very well in the LSC zone. There certainly haven't been any community complaints about compatibility ever, as far as I know. That's partly because it's the zone, and it's partly because it's surrounded by commercial and, in large measure, medically related commercial uses who obviously aren't going to complain. It's the only place in the county where we actually thought ahead and did it the right way.
Right, but now it's not. But I guess what I'm, you know, asking staff to take a look at is, from the report, I just didn't get a big picture sense of what the options are. I mean, we talked about them a little bit the first time we met, and you laid out some more options. But at that time, as I remember our discussion, the board asked you all to look at, you know, PD zone type options, development plan, project plan, a master planning type strategy, so that if there were a new zone created and there was a rezoning process, there would be a methodology within that zone of getting certainty as to how, you know, what would be involved with it, and a planning process that would not be piecemeal. The first thing that strikes me about this site plan idea is it's extremely piecemeal. You're doing one little thing, and then the next thing comes in 2 years later, and no one can see, you know, what the whole thing is going to look like. And there's always uncertainty in the neighborhoods. They're going to try to buy up more houses and add another project. There's no overall plan. I mean, there's a provision there for a long-term expansion plan, but it has no... It has no enforcement of its own. It has no meaning, and we're supposed to just review things project by project.
I just want to address one of the issues. The long-term expansion plan, we place that in there. We think it's critical to tying in with the site plan review process here. We had not developed the language there. I can tell you we were looking at utilizing a lot of the provisions that are in the project plan section of the zoning ordinance in terms of providing a development plan there that addresses a lot of the issues that you mentioned here. We just have not fleshed the language out to a point where we were comfortable with it yet to bring to you. We wanted to talk to legal about it as well. And then after Monday night's meeting with the city of Tacoma Park, that reinforced that issue even more so. And we have been working on some draft language. I actually have some of the draft language, but I didn't want to bring it forth before I talked to legal about it and let them really take a hard look at it as well. But I do have some draft language that really fleshes out what this long-term expansion plan would entail and how it would tie to the site plan review process.
Well, I don't know quite how to respond to that. Now, it seems to me from what we've heard here today, having taken a great deal of various and sundry people's time on both sides of the issue, is that hospital expansions raise three levels of issues. They raise master plan issues. You know, the hospital wants to go out and buy 27 houses, and they want to essentially expand the footprint of the facility in the broadest sense, not just the building, but the footprint of the complex. And essentially, they're saying, all right, I want to take X amount of, say, R6E zone land, and I want to convert it to hospital land. And they're cutting through the technical money details. That's what they want to do. And at our last session, that issue was clearly there. And so here we have a hearing. We take our time, a lot of other people's time. And as you're stating, it's not even discussed, so I'm a little bit disappointed by that. So I think, you know, we've talked about a plan development concept or another concept in the same concept line as a limited master plan, but the concept is basically that what you have to have explored was, first, there's that type of master plan impact. They're expanding the footprint of the facility, so land is being effectively rezoned by some mechanism. Or there's kind of a second tier, which is within the existing footprint of the facility, what's being used for hospital services now. There's going to be such a significant change that there are going to be impacts of the natures that neighbors get concerned about in terms of noise, congestion, and the like, which are elements sometimes of master plan impacts. Sometimes they're master site plan impacts, depending on the zone that applies. And then there are things that are very small that aren't going to impact anybody. So it seems to me that if we're being asked to explore options to change the way things happen now, that any proposal has to address all three levels, procedurally and substantively. Procedurally, you might have, if a master plan change in nature, you know, it might be a plan development concept, which says, all right, they want to do this, but you recognize that it's changing the use of the land. And we have procedures and models where we do that.
that'll take care of Mr. Knopf's problem that he gets 4 minutes of testimony, you know, when he comes in for they want to take down 27 houses.
Site plan is a regulatory item, and the time limits are not discretionary, and the testimony is unlimited, just like the Board of Appeals. There's no cross-examination, but testimony is unlimited.
You know, I think, Mr. Chairman, that's a very important qualification. You know, then you might have an intermediate level of impact where you might have a different type of hearing review process, and there might be very modest changes where it's not really appropriate to go back and, you know, go through a long special Board of Appeals process, and that's a different type of hearing process. That's all. I've taken enough time, but none of that's before us now. So.
I have a couple of thoughts to offer. The first is, I think there are a lot of good questions that have been raised, but I remain as convinced as ever that in the long run, the special exception process is not the right process for making these kinds of decisions. The Board of Appeals, for which I have great respect, is fully capable of deciding the location of gas stations and telecommunications towers and funeral parlors and the long list of things that special exception process is used for. But a hospital, and we, as I said, we've got one that's in a zone of its own. It doesn't need a special exception. The three hospitals that we have, maybe they shouldn't be in residential zones, but that's where they are. They're the only three hospitals we're ever going to have, in addition to the one in Shady Grove. I mean, conceivably, there might someday be another new hospital built, but it's a long way away.
So, perhaps in Clarksburg.
Perhaps in Clarksburg, exactly. But the three that are there and are likely to stay there, so we've got to deal with it. And the nature of a hospital and its function in the community is qualitatively completely different from the other types of uses that the special exception process regulates. And that's not to say that the community compatibility issue isn't as important in the hospital context as it is in any other. It is. But there are also other things that are important in the hospital context that don't arise in connection with a funeral parlor or a veterinary clinic. Namely, you're dealing with an almost unique or a critical care facility that's in very short supply and that is in the nature of a quasi-public use, even though it's privately owned. If we had public hospitals, as some communities do, they'd go through mandatory referral, which has less protection than any of the things that we're talking about today. That being said, I think that based on what I've heard, what I would like to see some more work done on between now and the time this comes back to us is, number one, enhancing the public input process. We clearly heard that there's a desire for greater public input, and I think that's a good point. Second, I think we need to really focus on the long-range plan and ask whether it may need to become almost in the nature of a mini-sector plan. Mm-hmm. Because the sector plan process, which is something that this board is very familiar with and that involves a great deal of community input, and it is the kind of process that we usually use when we want to balance a large number of competing public policy goals, is one that may make sense here. And I don't know whether it would be officially called a sector plan or whether this long-range plan that you've got embedded in your proposal kind of evolve into a much more significant kind of plan. But I do think that what the community and the hospitals need is a sense of what's going to happen over the long term and what they can do and what they can't. And I think that, you know, there are folks in this room who don't want to hear this. Washington Adventist, Holy Cross, and Suburban Hospital are going to get bigger. They're going to get bigger. You can fight as long as you want, but they are too critical. Healthcare as an activity in our society has become 10 times more complex and more omnipresent than it ever was when these hospitals were created. And these hospitals are going to get bigger. So the question is not, and they're either going to get taller or they're going to go out wider or it's going to be both. And the question is not, whether the question is when. And so I think the question for the communities and for us is putting in place a process that will allow that to happen, that gives the maximum amount of notice to the community and the maximum amount of input into the construction of that plan. But once that plan is out there, folks are going to need to abide by it. I would like to see some more work on, I don't know if you need to beef up the site plan enforcement provisions or just highlight them better in the staff report. One concern I've heard from the community is, well, you know, a special exception, you know, we can go to the Board of Appeals with a show cause request, and if we don't think they're living up to it, and theoretically at least a special exception can be yanked if they don't live up to the terms. You can't yank a site plan per se, but we can and do enforce site plan requirements all the time. And we need to be clear that we would have the ability in the hospital context to do that as well. Because I envision, you know, if we end up going the site plan route, I envision a site plan with a very long list of conditions and conditions that would provide maximum protection to the community. So those are my thoughts.
A few additional thoughts. It seems to me from what I hear from the community is a couple of things. One is, as the chairman has suggested, some need for understanding what the big picture is going to be and what the outer limits are. And I'm worried about a procedure that says you're here as a matter of right, which I take it means you can go as far into the community as you want. You're 100,000 square feet. You can be 2 million square feet. You can take over the community. I take it there are no outer limits on that until you run out of residential zone, because they're that's where it stops being so you run into some zone that you're not a permitted use. I think that that's that neighborhoods are appropriately uneasy about what the outer limits might be. So this long-range plan or sector plan or some kind of plan that allows people a degree of comfort about what the big picture looks like seems to me is important. And I don't think we get that simply by the language of let me come back. The other thing I heard, and others have mentioned as well, is concern about the procedural opportunities, the opportunities for input in the process. So I think we need to think through that pretty carefully. Whatever the successes have been in the past, and there have been important successes of communities working with the hospitals, those, of course, are always done, as the saying goes, in the shadow of the law. They are always against the backdrop of what the world will look like if you don't reach agreement with the neighborhood. And so the fact that neighborhoods have successfully negotiated things against the backdrop of special exception doesn't mean they'll successfully negotiate against a backdrop, a different backdrop.
Exactly.
So it matters what those procedures look like. Now, from the hospital's point of view, they would like a cheaper process, I gather, a quicker process, I gather. So that may be in tension with a community interest in wanting opportunities for input. They're not necessarily in irreconcilable tension if the procedures are carefully thought through. There's this issue about not wanting to re-justify that which already exists. I continue to be just sort of mystified by it. I don't know what to make of it. I got the language from the zoning ordinance and the general conditions, and I haven't been able to make heads or tails out of what in fact, it seems counterintuitive to me that if you want to put 1,000 square feet on, you're required to also justify the existing 200,000 square feet. maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. If that's what is happening, that does strike me as odd and not a good thing, not a sensible way to run a railroad. So I would understand that if that's what's happening, that strikes me as a bad thing. If what you have to do is justify the 5,000 square feet you're putting on, that's a different issue. And here it gets trickier because, and a very hard policy call for me, because the chairman said the issue isn't where is not whether they're going to get bigger, but when they're going to get bigger. Yeah, but maybe where they're going to get bigger. And so some of the disputes that I hear are, for example, on these the medical offices. The hospital says we have to have medical offices, and believe me, we have to have them next door. We cannot exist unless we have them next door. So the question becomes, do we set up the procedure where we say, okay, we have to take your word for that. We accept that. You said you must be there. We don't dispute that. Now what we worry about is the language of the site plan, which says it has to be in harmony with the general character of the adjacent development. Boy, for the life of me, I don't know what I'm supposed to do when the maximum height is, what, 143-foot building comes in next to a bunch of single-family homes, and I'm supposed to say, is it in harmony?
Cameron, help?
It's
43-foot trees would help.
I need a clear picture of what we mean by that. What we mean by that is the building gets to go there. That's the given. It gets to go there. Now, screen it and make it as least offensive as you can, given that it's going to go there. Is that what we mean? Or do we really mean to say, no, you know, you just can't put it there? And it's not clear to me which of those we mean to say. If it's theirs matter of right, it seems to me we're saying it gets to go there, put up a fence and make it
screen it.
And that's very different than saying there's a point at which we may say, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to locate your office building someplace else. That's the hard policy choice that I think we haven't fully wrestled with.
Well, we clearly haven't, because if you look what we do in others, reasoning by analogy can be dangerous because it can be inflammatory or it can be misleading. But to pursue that thought, you know, if you want to change, in essence, the nature of the zone or the way the land's being used, it could be to put a 143-foot building inside the existing institutional footprint of the hospital. But on normally those types of issues, if it's done under a land use procedure, then we do that. We make those types of determinations under sector plan analysis, because there are different zones with different heights where the zones adjoin one another, and then when we make the determination, we go across the different zones and we look at the compatibility of one zone, which is future notice about the use of the property, next to another zone. So I share that same concern that there's an intermediate step here between site plan and something else where there are going to be these community impacts. I share the chairman's concern of practical perception of what's the future is going to be like. The question is, what kind of procedure is going to not only address the possible expansion of the geographic site of this hospital, which is fairly straightforwardly clear, something we would do under master plan amendment, and when you're not having special exception procedures and there's no land use limitations inside the current zone, you know, footprint. How are we going to address these adjustments or these changes where there's going to be clear community impacts? And that's where I think the current proposal is clearly deficient.
Well,
I share that concern.
I just want to follow up and complete on this dilemma. One of the things I find not particularly attractive is the notion that the planning board would decide whether open heart surgery is really needed or not.
That strikes me as not something.
Ambulatory care or an obesity clinic or pick whatever the topic, the healthcare issue du jour is. I think it's a mistake to structure it that we're having to decide whether that's really important or not. So I don't think
it's a matter of law that's ever going to be our issue. That's a licensing issue. There's a state regulatory body that makes those determinations about whether an investment in this line of business or services is consistent with the overall health care needs of the state and the community. I doubt that we would ever be in that role. I think that's appropriately for the state. The question is, what kind of physical, what is going to be the land use implications of those of constructing that facility and its impact on the community? I think that is our concern in terms of, because it's a land use impact. It's not a determination of what services should be provided.
Yes, although the special exception gets tied up with notions about need and then... So need the current...
Well, my view of the having need criteria and special exception law is well known.
That's one of the problems with that in another context. I don't think it makes sense for us or, frankly, for the Board of Appeals to try and figure out whether something is needed, whatever that means. Only four people will die if you don't build it. I don't know how they're supposed to make the calculation. That doesn't strike me as a particularly useful way to think about it. My bottom line is I am attracted to some sort of master plan type approach that's not geared so much to our look. You want to look on a pretty big scale what they have in mind, not trying to figure out whether this building, what goes on in that building, is really going to be an important addition or not. It's here's the overall plan. How does that work? I would take that process to mean not that the board would say whatever the hospital says it needs, it gets to build it, but a looking at the overall plan and what seems legitimately. Legitimate is not the right word, but. Not beyond the burdens we're willing to impose on particular neighborhoods. But I think we can do that through some sort of master plan type process.
Yeah, I think the master plan type process, I think Commissioner Perdue ferreted out the elements that we have to look at that are disturbing and that make the current recommendation to me unacceptable as the way it's written right now. Let's start with making the use a matter of right. Commissioner Perdue pointed out if that's the case, we will only be looking at whatever's going to happen on the site plan. There is no limit to the expansion on R60. And that is the big difference between the special exception process and this being by right. By a special exception, it's not by right. You have the burden of showing that you should have it. So that's why I start. And then the second point that you made, and I'll go back to the point I made, is that we don't want to discourage any of the hospital uses. We don't want to get into the business of deciding what uses should be where. But there can be other locations. It is our job to decide, you know, what can fit on a certain location and how large it all can be. And it can have in it whatever, you know, the hospital or wherever the user is. That's not our job to decide. We decide the parameters of it and if that location is suitable. That's when I first brought up the other zone. I think it appropriate to look at a master plan type sector plan process. And as we do, when we do that, one of the considerations is, should a property be rezoned? This was one of the four alternatives that you all presented in our first session, that was a possibility. You know, I referred to a PD zone. There's a life sciences zone would be proper. I haven't looked at all the zones. I don't think that's my job to do the technical analysis. But I think staff, I think we should be looking at a master plan type process with looking at perhaps rezoning these areas so that then within that zone that we decide within the master plan, it is a use by right, and they can change it as they will within the descriptions that we've given them of height, density, etc. Roads, road impact, traffic impacts, all of this could be much more planned. I have thought, and if we look back and remember when we amended the special exception laws, it was just 2 or 3 years ago, we actually did examine in great detail an existing property, and we went into great detail about the hospitals, and I thought we had worked some of that through and that was going to work out through the special exception process. It now appears from what the hospitals are saying that they at least are not happy with it. The last thing I'd like to say, I want to comment on the testimony we had on the one-sidedness of this process so far. We need to put that behind us, but we did not benefit from enough input from enough people about this kind of legislation. And today, I think we learned a lot, and we heard a lot from all different people in different communities with different ideas. And we know that we're going forward with new text amendments. We either through another hearing and having groups come to you and talk to you, because the report, I'm sure it was inadvertent, but it did seem to only refer to the concerns of the hospitals, and it also just repeated the same analysis that we'd already had in July. There really was very little change from July until now, and I had thought when we had our discussion that what we wanted was sort of a smorgasbord or a menu of choices to have a more in-depth discussion of a problem that does not have an obvious solution in my mind.
Quickly, this is because I really feel like I need the hospital right about now.
Is there a mobile care unit here?
I'll take anything right now. as was pointed out, I do have some experience from the standpoint of the Board of Appeals, and I do respect what the Board of Appeals does in terms of allowing the community to make input in terms of decisions about what goes where, when, how, etc. But there's a balance to what goes on at the Board of Decisions that I think is needed, and that's what I thought I understood the chair to say, and that is when you look at something that has a public benefit that goes beyond the notion of limitation of neighborhood and even community, and it's deemed critical, well, then you have to look at the value of the criticality of that thing as it relates overall. I think a very simple example of that was when we used to spend the same kind of, no, not exactly the same, but similar kinds of times determining whether or not a monopole ought to go one place or the other, and it was passed down to us that you don't make this decision. You can make a decision to some extent about compatibility, but this is a federal guideline. This is a federal need, etc. Well, hospitals, as far as I'm concerned, take on a similar importance in that I, especially the way I'm feeling right now, I would not want a decision to be made as to whether or not any hospital can grow and meet my need. Only thing I'm concerned about is, will that hospital meet my need in terms of what I need right now? And Mr. Resch pointed something out that I thought was very critical, and then I see that essentially it's consistent with the staff. And that is that you don't want to have to go through a process that every time you want to make a change, you have to reinvent yourself or revalidate yourself or justify yourself. I think that what we ought to do is understand that, again, hospitals exist. And it's not a question of whether you're going to get rid of the hospitals, because we're not. But at the same time, there's also the question of, should we allow hospitals to do anything that they want to do? And, of course, I don't believe that that's the case either. But I think that in terms of what's being proposed, that this represents a clear enough attempt at coming up with a balance that we ought to do what we are being asked to do, and that is essentially what we're being asked to do is essentially to provide advisory to the county council. We're not making the decision. So from my perspective, what I would suggest is that we take and summarize the comments from all of the people who spoke, representing whatever their sides are, and package that as a part of our advice to the county council, with this document that's been prepared by the staff being the underlying basis for giving that advice, because and let them work with it and make the decision.
Well, except the basic advice that we're giving, we would be offering, is that we think this should be introduced as legislation.
And I agree that we ought to say that this should be introduced as legislation. Now, let me make a clarification. When I say this as legislation, I'm saying this, and my assumption is that what they will do is with the comments is to have this refined based upon some of the comments to make sure that some of the caveats that were identified are in fact incorporated. That's the assumption I'm making. And then it will go back out for public review the same way it's doing now, but in more depth, more detail, with a lot more clarification having been made, I hope.
Well, I have a problem with that because I think there's at least, I think my other colleagues have expressed concerns with some fundamental structural problems with this paper as it stands. And with all due regard to the county council and its technical staff, we are the land use experts. If we think that there should be some sector plan type analogy or a plan development type of analogy to extend to limit the degree of hospital expansion under a more liberalized procedure, then I think as a matter of first, as a matter of our technical responsibilities, we should come up with that concept, certainly with some sufficient detail for comment by the people in the room, and then send it to the county council.
But haven't we done that?
No, because there are some fundamental issues in terms of how you bridge between the concept of use as a matter of right and limiting the scope of that use in terms of physical impacts on the community. This draft just goes right by that issue, and I'm not prepared to send that one up to the council without any specific analysis of it and a specific proposal, particularly when the chairman thinks we can get it back in 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, I think the critical question is whether the board is in a position at this time to direct the staff to, you know, what would a text amendment that you would be willing to send up for introduction look like?
what it would look like to pursue the analogies of my, since we've been asked to look at something this, what I would do is in terms of the, I would have at least two tiers of analysis. The site plan, some type of site plan's review is appropriate, right? Certainly, because you get down to specifics, and particularly if there's a modest change in what the hospital's doing now when you're looking at narrow impacts. But the chairman's key point is that hospitals are going to continue to grow. They're already severely constrained on their sites. They are going to intrude further into neighborhoods. And so that is, in effect, a rezoning. So we should have either the equivalent of a limited master plan amendment process that addresses that issue, or we should have a plan development process which does the same thing by submitting the plan development to cover Area X, which is a long-term plan development zones, or long-term plan zones. That plan covers what the hospital tends to do in a 5 or 10 year time frame, and we review that like under master type plan type procedures, and when it's approved, it effectively rezones the land.